The song says, and then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. But then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. You know, in our church today, there have been three people that have passed away just in the recent week. There's a friend of Bill, Angela, and Miss Alva. Name was Shirley Shipley. She had passed away and gone home to be with the Lord. If anyone else knows her here today or would love to pay respects to her, service is tomorrow, First Congregational Church at 11 a.m. Then there was Bill's brother, Bill and Lorreen, Bill Page's brother, just recently had passed away. And they're taking care of that and spending time with his father today. So a tough thing. And then Sister Connie, who had been with us in service several times, Judy's relative, she found out that she had passed away. And so the scripture gives us a lot of encouragement, but also God's word gives us encouragement. And this song gives us encouragement when it says, and then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, but then as death gives way to victory, I will see the lights of glory, and I will know he lives. Those loved ones that are no longer with us today, they're in heaven. Praise the Lord if they knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you could be in heaven if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior too. Let's open our service in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We thank you, God, that you've taken us, Lord, people that aren't worthy, Lord, but God, people that you came and you laid down your life, Lord. You were born of the Virgin Mary. You came here for us, God, to take care of us, Lord, and to show us, God, how to treat one another, how to love one another, how to respect one another. And Lord, that if we accepted you as our Lord and Savior, you said that we'll have a place of eternity in heaven someday. And God, I thank you for that special place that we have today, Lord. God, I know there's hearts that mourn around the Christmas season, Lord. They miss loved ones that were here in their life, walking the face of the earth with them that are no longer here, God. But I pray, Lord, that you would just restore their joy, helping them to know that those loved ones, God, are with you in heaven today. And we praise you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do in this service today, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just anoint us with the Holy Spirit. We'd just feel you moving and talking in our lives. God, that you would give us encouragement and joy in our life, Lord, as we get ready to celebrate the greatest celebration the earth has ever seen, and that's Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today I'm going to be preaching out of Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Luke. We'll be looking at chapter 2, looking at verses 22 through 38. 22 through 38. The title of my message today is Surprise! Christmas is almost here. Surprise! Christmas is almost here. And so as you're turning to Luke chapter 2, I wonder how many of the people in the church like surprises? How many people like surprises? Anybody like surprises? Yeah, surprises are kind of neat, right? I don't know what it is about surprises that are great. I don't know if it's the unknown, if it's something you weren't expecting. But I read a funny story about a great surprise that I just have to share with you. So, as you know, there's officers that are pulling people over and giving them rewards for having their seatbelts on, right? Has anybody ever heard about that or seen it on TV or anything? Yeah, so if you're wearing your seatbelt, there are some cities that will come and reward you. You'll get pulled over by a police officer and they'll reward you for following the law for wearing your seatbelt. And so in this town, there was a person who, I guess they got pulled over. And so the officer pulls the guy over and he says, well, hey, congratulations, you were wearing your seatbelt. And so here's $100 gift card. A Visa gift card. What a great blessing, you know, that would be wonderful. And so the officer says, so what do you think? How are you going to spend it? And the guy, he responds like this. He says, well, I'm finally going to get my driver's license. Oh. And the officer looks at him puzzled and he's like, what are you talking about? You're finally going to get your driver's license. And his wife, the passenger, she says, don't worry. He always talks like that when he's drunk. And the officer's like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? You know, and then they're talking so loud that they wake up the person in the back seat, and the person in the back seat says, man, I knew we weren't going to get very far in this stolen car. And then the officer's like, what the heck is going on? And he hears this noise coming out of the trunk, and he says, are we across the border yet? So anyway, the guy got arrested, but praise the Lord, he was able to use that $100 Visa gift card to post bail. Life is good. Life is good. If you're looking forward to Christmas today, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So am I. I can't believe there's only 9 more days till Christmas. Only 9 days till Christmas. It seems like this year has just flown by, hasn't it?
Yes.
Just crazy how fast things have gone by. But I love Christmas. I look forward to Christmas every year. I enjoy the Christmas movies. And somebody asked me the other day, said, you know, if you could only celebrate one holiday, what would it be? Would it be your birthday? Would it be Valentine's Day, your anniversary? You know, what would it be? And I said, definitely have to be Christmas. You see, because on Christmas, the radio stations play different songs. The TV stations play different Christmas movies. Everybody gets presents. Hey, that's a blessing, right? On Christmas. And everybody decorates their houses and stuff. And so Christmas is definitely the holiday that I would celebrate. As I was a kid, I was really looking forward to Christmas. And kids, I think they just have this different insight on Christmas. We used to get the Sears catalogs. Anybody remember those days? Yeah, I mean, the Sears catalog was awesome. It was thicker than this hymnal. And it would come to your house and you would be so excited. There would be a plethora of toys in there. And you'd look through and circle and cut out and all those great things and plant those ideas, wouldn't you? At least I would. I was a smart kid, so I didn't have a copy machine or anything like that. But I had 2 resources. I had the Sears catalog and I had the Sunday paper. And out of those 2 things, you could definitely find some cool toys.
Yep, you can.
And so back in the day, there was a game called The Legend of Zelda. Does anybody remember that game? Boy, I wanted The Legend of Zelda so bad. And so I turned into the perfect kid. My parents didn't know what was going on. I was nice to my brother. Hey, praise the Lord. I washed dishes, vacuumed, take care of the dogs. I'd do whatever. Just because I wanted to be the perfect kid. I didn't want my parents to have any reason not to get me The Legend of Zelda. And so my mom, she used to write little lipstick messages on the bathroom mirror to my dad. Has anybody else ever done that? So my family just crazy. Yeah, okay, good. And so she would do that. And so what I'd do is I'd take a piece of scotch tape and I'd take a thing. I remember vividly, it was from Toys R Us. They had the gold copy of The Legend of Zelda. And I taped it up there. I put it in the garage where my dad was, everywhere, so they could see that I wanted The Legend of Zelda for Christmas. And so then time came, Christmas came, and you know, we run down by the tree. We're so excited. And we go there and we start opening up all the presents. And I look around and there's just not a small box that would have that game in it. And so, so we opened up presents and it was good and everything was great. I remember my mom kind of looking at me because I must have had a disappointed look on my face. You know, kids can never hide emotion. Kids just don't hide emotion. And so I must have had a little disappointed look on my face and I was just like, oh man. My mom said, well, did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas? And I said, oh yeah, God, I mean, I didn't want to be disrespectful. Yeah, thank you so much, you know. And thinking to myself, how did they not get it? I mean, it's been the garage, it's been taped to the mirror for crying out loud. Like, why did they not get this? And so my mom said, well, I think there was one present that wasn't in here. I think your dad was testing it out. And I'm like, my dad? And if you knew my dad, he did this. He was testing out. My dad looks over at me and he said, you might want to go check in your Nintendo and see what's over there. And bam, The Legend of Zelda was in there, opened up and turned on. My dad was playing it apparently. And so that's a funny story because my dad woke me up in the middle of the night to show him how to get the bow in Legend of Zelda. And I said, I'll get it for you, Dad, but I got to get off the next day of school because I'm sick. He's like, that's fine with me. I don't care. So it was great. So I got the bow and arrow for my dad and I stayed home the next day. So I got the Legend of Zelda. What awesome parents did I have. Praise the Lord. So it worked out good. I was really excited. I was super excited about Christmas and all my little dreams came true as a kid. But as I was thinking about, what am I going to share with everybody the week before Christmas? Because as a pastor, you get so excited. You're like, I just want to talk about the Christmas story and how that Jesus was born. And like, I've got to wait till next week. Okay, I won't share that till next week. But anyway, I was like, well, I started thinking, who was the character in the Bible that was probably the most excited about Christmas coming? Have you ever thought about that? What a weird thought. But out of all the people in the Bible, Like, who do you think was most looking forward to Christmas? Was it the Israelites? Was it the Jews? I mean, we know Mary was looking forward to Christmas because she was tired of carrying this baby, probably. Right? Joseph was probably looking forward to Christmas, but maybe also really nervous. Can you imagine that kind of responsibility? Raising the Savior of the world? Like, boy, I would definitely not be the parent to choose for that job. But I mean, who do you think would be most looking forward to Christmas? Does anybody know? I mean, we don't really know, but does anybody have another idea? I mean, huh? Maybe God, yeah, I'm sure he was. Because he's getting the whole plan of salvation kind of started. But also your baby's going to be sacrificed. So I don't know, that's a tough one. But I was thinking, like, God, show me who was looking most forward to Christmas. Who was most excited about this event? And so I'm going to share with you two people. I don't know if they're the most excited, but I'm going to share with you two people that were looking forward to Christmas. Two people, one in fact, that wouldn't even die until Christmas came. And so I'm going to talk about that gentleman, and I'm going to talk about another lady. But I think it's neat because these two characters that I'm going to share with you, they're not in any nativity scenes. You won't sing about them in any Christmas carols. There won't be in any hymns. You don't even see them really as having a big part in Christmas cards. I never even seen either one of their names, honestly, in a Christmas card. These two people. But yet, they're a very, very important point of the Christmas story. So, let's look and see who these people were. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. Here's what God's word says. So Jesus is already born, by the way. They're getting ready to go and take him to the temple so that he can be taken care of. He had been circumcised already, and now he's going back to the temple to be consecrated to the Lord. And here's what the scripture says. It says, "Now when the day of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was completed, they, Joseph and Mary, brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took Jesus up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people in Israel.' And Joseph and his mother, they marveled at the things which were spoken of them. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So the two people I want to talk to you today are about Simeon and the prophetess Anna. Those are the two people I want to talk about. Both of these people, like kids, like we, look forward to Christmas. They were really looking forward to Christmas. They were super excited. And the words that are used in Greek talk about an anticipation that is undeniable. They're looking forward to seeing the Savior. So not looking forward to like presents or family coming over, but they had a great anticipation because the Savior that they have learned so much about for all these years was finally going to be born. In Luke 2:25, Simeon references, says he was waiting. And in 2:38, to describe Anna, says, "I was looking forward to." So what are they looking forward to? Well, Simeon, he was looking forward to being comforted. Can you imagine getting a promise from God like that? I mean, can you imagine that? getting a promise from God saying that you will not be able to depart. You will not depart from this earth until you get to see the Lord's Christ. Wouldn't it be neat to have a promise like that from God that you're not going to be able to do X until this happens? Kind of neat. And so he was looking for comfort. Verse 25 says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Wouldn't it be great if God says you were righteous and devout? Was that something that Jesus would say about you today? Think about your life. Think about the decisions you've been making. Think about the ways you've been acting. Could Jesus come to you and say, "You know, Bill is a righteous and devout man before God, and the Holy Spirit is upon him." Is that something that God would be able to say about you? What a blessing to be able to hear those words. But you see, Simeon was hurting because things weren't going well for the nation of Israel. He was in a place that he loved, and he saw lots of bad things happening. Does anybody feel like that today? I love America, but you know, I see a lot of bad things happening. Somebody once said, "I just wish the Lord would come and take us out of this land." You know, in America, it used to be land of the free and the home of the brave, the greatest place in the world. I still believe it is the greatest place in the world, but it's not the place it used to be. And so Simeon's heart was broken for Israel. His heart was broken for them, just like many of your hearts is broken for America. He says, see, there's a lot of tough things that were going on in Israel. They hadn't heard from God for many years. They were under Roman rule. They lost political independence. People were living in fear of capable, crafty, dangerous man, this king named Herod, who was cruel. And they're wondering if the Messiah would ever come to save them. But Simeon, he wasn't giving up. He wasn't going to give up. He was going to wait. And he got that promise that he wasn't going to die until he got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ." You see, what Simeon wanted more than anything else in the world was to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ before he died. What an awesome thing to want. What an awesome thing to want. And you know why he wanted to see him? Because he knew that was the only way that comfort, healing, and redemption would come through the world. Do you know what? He's right. Do you know there's no other way that we're going to have comfort, healing, or redemption in our world today? If we're not looking at Jesus Christ, you can do all the work you want to try to make people happy. And you know what? You'll make them happy for 10 minutes. 10 minutes, if you're lucky. That's all the time it takes to eat an ice cream sundae and then they're miserable again. You know? You guys have had kids. You know how it works. You give them something, they're happy for 10 minutes and then it's all over. And so he was so happy that this person was going to save the world from their sins. He was going to bring comfort and healing and peace. And that's what our world needs today. How many people here think America could be a better place? Now, how many people here honestly pray for the Lord to restore America? Yeah. People want a couple of things I've found in life. They want love. People want to know that they're loved, that somebody cares about them. That somebody cares about them, that somebody would do something for them, that somebody loves him. Other thing that people want is comfort. People want to be comforted. They don't want to be lonely. They don't want to be afraid. They want to be comforted. And Jesus came to do all those things. I want to tell you that just like Jesus came to comfort Simeon, that he came to comfort you. And those struggles, those trials, those tribulations, those things you think you're dealing with right now, that you feel like maybe you're all alone, you're not all alone. God sees you. He knows what you're going through. And he loves you. And just like he rescued Simeon, just like he came to him, he'll come to you. And then look at verse 27. It says, "Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required." Look at that first verse. Moved by the Spirit. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit told Simeon the exact time to get up on the exact day to go so he could see Joseph and Mary, the infant, in that temple. No, God's timing is perfect. You may feel like you're going through something difficult and you've been going through it for a long time. Let me tell you, trust God. His time is perfect. His time was perfect for them. The Lord knows when to provide, how to provide, and why to provide. And so Simeon, can you imagine how excited he must have been? I love what it says in verse 20. It says, Simeon reached down and he took Jesus out of Mary's arms and began to praise God. That must have been exciting, you know. He just came down, he was like, took that kid's baby, took him over, and he was like, praise the Lord, and he starts blessing him. Now, what would you do if some crazy old man took your kid out of the stroller and raised him up and started saying things?
The fight would be on.
I'd be like, man, this guy better put my kid down. You know what I'm saying? When we were in Texas and we had Faith and she was a baby, there's a tradition where I guess the ladies, Hispanic ladies, sometimes have to hold the baby or kiss the baby or rub the baby or something so they're not cursed. I don't know how it all works. But they come over and they took Faith out of the cart. And I was like, whoa, lady, that's my kid. Put that kid down. Shannon's like, it's okay. This is what they do. Well, they ain't doing it to my kid. Put my kid back in the car. And so I can't imagine as Simeon goes over and he grabs baby Jesus from Mary and tells him, like, give me that kid. Like, oh, praise the Lord. This is great stuff. We're like, Mary, you see what this guy is doing to our kid? But he was super excited about it because his dream was coming true. The time he was waiting forever finally was coming true. And he was really, really, really excited, to say the least. Then there's this lady, Anna. So, okay, so we know Simeon was waiting for Christmas because he wanted the comfort of the world to take place. He wanted the world to be changed. He wanted the suffering that the Israelites were going through to be over. But then there's this lady, Anna. What the heck does she want? Anna was longing for this Christmas season. Well, she wanted forgiveness. After her husband died, she dedicated herself to fasting and prayer in the temple. The Bible says she never left the temple. She was there day and night worshiping. And she was over 80 years old. Listen to what the scripture says. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And this word redemption, that's what she wanted for all these people in Jerusalem. Now, the Old Testament Passover, the release from Israel and from the Egyptians, that was seen as the ultimate redemption story. But she knew that there was more. That Jesus, this baby, was going to be able to redeem everyone, not just a group of people, but everyone from their sins. You know, if somebody came up today in our world, they went to the shopping mall, and somebody stood up at a shopping mall and they said, you know what? Anybody who comes to me in the next 10 minutes, I'm paying off all your credit cards, your house, your car, and all your bills. Anybody who comes to me in the next 10 minutes. You know how many people would be up there talking to that man or woman saying that?
It'd be a riot.
But we got something so much better. We have a Savior who wants to save you from all your sins. Everyone. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Why would somebody love you enough to do everything for you, Larry? That's the person we serve. He wants to do better than pay off your credit cards and your house and your cars. He wants to save you from your sins. All those dumb mistakes you've made, all those hateful words you said, all those bad things you've ever done. But he wants to do more than that. That's not enough for him. You know what else he wants to do? He wants to help you to have a good life. People look at Bibles and they say, well, look at all these commandments in there, all these things we have to follow. Boy, it must be rough to be a Christian. No! He gives you those things so you can have a good life. The Bible says that God came to give you life and life more abundantly. If you don't have a life that has joy in it, maybe you're looking for joy in the wrong place. Maybe you're looking for joy in the wrong place. Jesus is better than anybody who could pay off your bills. He came to settle your ultimate debt so that you can be with him in heaven. Amen. Someday.
That's right.
And that's what Anna was looking forward to. That's what she was so excited, that these people could all be redeemed forever from their sin. So as I close the message today, I want to share three little things that can make your preparation for Christmas better. Three little things that we can learn from this story. One, verse 33 says that Joseph and Mary marveled about what was said about Jesus. When Simeon held that baby up, it says they marveled. They were filled with wonder, astonishment, surprise. When is the last time that you marveled about the story of Christmas?
So many people are so focused on being frustrated around the Christmas season. Oh, I still got 50 Christmas cards to write. I got to go buy presents for these people. The house is half decorated. So-and-so's coming over for dinner and the house is a wreck. And you know what happens? You don't enjoy Christmas. You're doing all these things to get ready, but you're missing out on enjoying Christmas. Jesus came to restore you, to restore your family, to give you love. How can you do all those things? You're trying by doing things, by buying gifts, by doing Christmas cards. If I don't get one Christmas card from anybody in the church today, that doesn't matter. You know what I'll think? That person is focused more on Jesus than focused more on tasks. No, God spoke that to me because I'm that guy. I'm the one who looks up. I was on the plane. I'm coming back from Memphis and I'm thinking, Lord, it's a Christmas season. And I don't have a lot of joy in my heart because I'm worried. I don't have a Christmas tree set up. My house isn't decorated. Everything is in shambles. I got to get this stuff together. And then I start thinking, God starts talking to me. It's not about all that. Why don't you sit down and watch a Christmas movie with your family and show them you love them? Become a marveler. Instead of getting all tied up with all those things, here's what I want you to do for homework. I want you to look at one of these people in the Christmas story. It could be Joseph, Mary. It could be the shepherds, the wise men. It could be Anna, Simeon, any of these people. Now what I want you to do is I want you to go home and read that scripture in Luke chapter 2. And I want you to sit down and I want you to put your feet in their sandals. I want you to think about what would it be like if Joyce was Mary? What would that be like? I mean, just think about it. Imagine, put yourself in their sandals and think about this. I'm telling you, then you can marvel about how awesome the Christmas story can be again. The second thing that I want us to do is become a mover. In verse 27, it says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Both Simeon and Anna, they were movers. When the Holy Spirit told them to do something, they did it. When God speaks to you, do it. Don't sit and wait. The moment could be past. Who knows, by doing what the Lord is leading you to do, somebody could come to salvation. Somebody's life could be changed. Your life could be changed. So when God calls you to do something, be a mover. Move, go do it. And the third thing is become a messenger. In verse 38, here's what it says about Anna. It says, she gave thanks to God. And listen to this, and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. If you want to make this a great Christmas, tell people about Jesus. That's what it's about. Invite people to church so I can tell them about Jesus next week. But let's share the love. I read a survey that said 57% of the people that are invited to church Christmas service will come. 50, that means you have better than a 50% chance if you invite somebody to come to a church Christmas service. Let's go out and make a difference. Let's be messengers, just like Anna was a messenger. And so, congregation, if you and I will become marvelers, the wonder of Christmas will astonish us. Put yourself in the place of one of those Bible characters. Then if you and I will become movers, we'll let that comfort and that forgiveness and that leading of the Holy Spirit drive us to go do great things for God. And if we'll take our role as messengers seriously, then we'll start to introduce people to the Christ that is in Christmas. We'll invite them to church so they in turn can find out what they've been waiting for, just like Simeon and Anna were. That Savior, that Jesus Christ, who loves us unconditionally, who gives us mercy and grace, who forgives us of our sin, and who made a path so that we can be in heaven with him eternally. Friends, I can't wait for Christmas. I'm looking forward to it. And you know what? My house might not all be decorated. My Christmas cards might not all be done. And half the presents might not even be wrapped. But you know what? I'm going to spend time with Jesus this Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Christmas is nothing short of a marvelous, moving message. So let's get excited. Let's get prepared for worship our Lord and Savior. Let's enjoy these last 9 days before Christmas. Stop getting focused on the task and get focused on the person of why we celebrate Christmas. In his name, is Jesus Christ. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord. And God, I repent, Lord, for putting other things before you this Christmas season, God. If there's anything that's standing before me and spending time with you, God, I just want to wipe that off the plate, God. Just make it not that important, Lord. God, if I'm not putting you as number one, what am I even doing this Christmas season? So, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just take those things from me. Take those burdens from everybody in our congregation today, Lord. I know so many people get stressed out about these things, Lord, but really we should be enjoying the time with you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. Help us to put ourselves in your shoes, in one of those people's shoes, Lord, to know what they're going through. Help us just to look at Christmas and enjoy time with our family and our loved ones, Lord. And God, help us, God, if we have sin in our life and we want to come and pray about that, now's a great time to come up here and just say, God, I just need some help with this, Lord. I want to have a great Christmas and all these things are robbing me of my joy, Lord. Just take these from me. Whatever problem you have, or maybe you want to come and just praise God. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to talk to you. It's about you and Christ just meeting with him. I just want us to have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And the only way we can do it is by putting Christ back in the center. So, Lord, we got 9 days to get our act together, Lord. Please move in our life and make a difference in us today. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.